Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. So Dan, you know, we're coming off the GPU Technology Conference, and one of the talks that had about the most buzz from my point of view was this talk from GE about GPU Direct RDMA.
Yeah, what'd you think about that session, Rich?
I didn't go. I had another
nice job, Rich. Nice work.
But the good news is they have all those talks online for us that attended the show. So
and for the public,
I wanted
actually,
to bring this up, and I've got their slide deck here.
And
what were they showing?
And Rich, you better not share it with me since we're on the air. You might get in trouble since I didn't go.
not for 30 days, Henry.
Okay.
After 30 days, then you, the general unwashed public, can see these slides. But right now, no, sorry. This was a really interesting talk. These were guys from GE's labs that are during their day jobs are doing ruggedized systems. And I have a story up in the Register about that. They're really pretty cool systems. These are the PCs that go into tanks, and you could basically put them in a Home Depot paint shaker in Antarctica, and they would still run, which is pretty cool technology. The guy that ran this is a guy named Dustin Franklin. He's their GPU. He's the GPU application specialist for military and aerospace embedded computing at General Electric. And it's the first that I've seen real-world RDMA data. And I don't know if you've seen anything, Rich, of real-world performance from RDMA, maybe some stuff from Mellanox, but it's more test.
Dan, there's been lots of real-world data out there for RDMA between CPUs for years and years.
Yeah, but GPUs is what I'm talking about, with GPU to GPU communications. It's a feature that came out with Kepler last year, and I haven't seen a lot of real-world on how much latency and how much more bandwidth you're getting out of it.
You know, I haven't seen the slides, but I did read the article in the Register, Dan, that Timothy Prickett Morgan did. And I see this slide on the first page, and I'm asking myself, there's a factor of 5 in terms of latency. You know, looking at the picture, it looks like they streamed the data on the GPU, but they did it synchronously on the CPU to CPU, you know, GPU to CPU to CPU to GPU communication. It's hard for me to understand for sure the picture, but it looks like comparing apples and oranges here.
Well, I think part of the difference you're seeing here is that is it possible that they're going node to node, but it's not clear in the picture that they are, as opposed to going to GPUs within the same node, or would that be the same difference?
Well, what you would have to do on the CPU side is basically move the data to an MPI process, then on from the GPU to a memory in-memory process, transmit that data over to another in-memory MPI process, and then write that data to the GPU, and the bandwidths don't add up if you're doing this asynchronously. And with RDMA, it kind of looks like they're doing it with asynchronous communication.
So you're talking about the bandwidth. You're talking about the bandwidth, not the latency.
It's just, you know, bandwidth latency. It doesn't kind of matter, Dan.
I mean, it does.
Synchronous and asynchronous. It doesn't actually.
It doesn't at all.
Well, it does. The latency obviously matters, Dan, but bandwidth matters too. But the issue is the asynchronous, you know, using asynchronous versus non-asynchronous. If everything's synchronous, then you're going to have a lot of latency. If everything's done asynchronously, you should reduce your latency because you can overlap things.
So you think that the CPU should look better on this?
Just my gut tells me, given the numbers between the GPU and CPU, CPU over Mellanox Connect 3, and then memory to GPU numbers, it looks like it's being done synchronously.
Could be, and actually, I'm buddies with a guy. I can put you in touch with him if you want to have an inquisition session.
Oh, let's get him on the line, Dan. I'll actually try to be nice.
Really?
But I'm just asking the question.
It's a good question, and I'm not deep enough, and they didn't have a chance to go deep enough in this session to really drill down into this. My gut feel from this and from talking to the people around me is that they did a pretty straight-up test. GE doesn't really have a dog in this fight.
Well, they do and they don't. They need the GPUs to do these embedded mil-spec apps, and it might be an easier programming model if you're doing everything on the GPU and you can communicate GPU to GPU. I suspect if the programming model is easier. So that is useful to GE and to the military in terms of the amount of code you got to test. So there's lots of aspects of this. It's a pretty complex problem, Dan, in the way I look at it.
Yeah, and there's just not enough detail that you're seeing in this to be able to tell you exactly how they did it.
This is, you know, I wouldn't call it high-level marketing. This is low-level marketing, you know, and I'm written in a marketing level. And it, you know what? I could be wrong here.
Well, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's take it from this standpoint, though. Let's say that it's not, and actually, if you look at the chart, which is in TPM's article, on small transfers, it's like a 15x lower latency, 16x, and still 5x more bandwidth. So, and then it goes up to the 2 meg from 16k to kb to 2 meg. That's where you get to a 5x on lower latency and still 5x more bandwidth. It's still a win with GPUs and RDMA versus CPUs and no RDMA. Well, I mean, not versus CPUs, but it's RDMA versus non-RDMA.
Right.
It's still a win.
You're going to take more OS interrupts. You're going to have multiple copies. You're going to have more software in the way. No doubt about that. I don't deny it will be faster. I'm just a little surprised it's this much faster.
So you don't see it as you think a 5X in bandwidth is too much, and I would assume you think that the range from 16 to 5X better latency is too much too.
Yeah. But okay. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2 or 3X.
Well, that's a pretty good win.
It is a good win. I mean, it's a good win. But, you know, I'm just surprised it's this much.
Did you go to the Mellanox session on this, Rich?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Were you that hungover? Because some of those sessions were in the afternoon, pal. I know you missed every morning until around 12:30 or so.
I was interviewing some folks at that time.
But, Rich, that's called drinking in a bar. It's not an interview if you're drinking and you're not taking notes or recording anything.
Dan,
that's journalism 101, pal.
Dan, if you read went to Inside HPC, which is one of our sponsors here, and when you looked at what Rich did, he was doing some seriously good work interviewing people.
Rich, and also, so Inside HPC is on the web? Because I keep looking for it in the mail. So it's on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as we all know, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
I will Google that up.
And Dan, unlike some people, I go to lots of HPC conferences, including the ones that Mellanox sponsors, and I see a lot of their talks. So I look for that to see what I've already seen before.
And Dan, what was your point about the Mellanox talk?
I wanted to ask Rich if he had seen that before and had any if he had any thought about what kind of numbers Mellanox was showing.
I don't remember the benchmark numbers if they were ping-pong or if they were at real applications performance.
Because I just pulled up their presentation. That's one of the nice things, Henry. If you go to this conference, everything's up online within about 24, 36 hours for the people that went. And then after 30 days, it's up for everybody else, which would
be that's similar to what like LUG and other conferences say, and I'm quite familiar with that.
Yeah. It's on the internet. I just wanted to mention that. So be sure and check the internet for that.
Well, in general, it would seem to me this is another way to use GPUs. I mean, letting them communicate GPU to GPU without the CPU getting in the middle of it would just add another tool to the toolbox and make these things more versatile. And this GE case study looks to be, you know, they're saying they're getting
And
better performance for
more. Oh, and I'm sure you are going to get better performance, and it is another tool in the toolbox. And you know, it probably reduces your code set of having to move things into your program on the CPU and then move it out. But it's not going to obviously work for everything serial code that's got to run on the CPU to be efficient. And it's not going to work for when you have to do I/O to and from disk, or you need to checkpoint your job. This sounds like it's a great move for an embedded system, like in a tank that's just sitting there running and doing whatever it's doing in that tank or the Humvee or whatever the vehicle is.
And but actually, though, Henry, you don't have to go back out to the CPU. Well, now, Rich, let's think about this, because there's some new stuff with Kepler that allows it to go straight out to the network from the card. Yeah. But I don't know if that's only video or if that's data as well. I don't know if that's a...
I don't see, given what's on the Kepler, how it's going to do a system call to get to the file system, Dan, unless this is something new I'm unaware of.
It is new with Kepler.
The TPM story says that other devices, as long as they use the CUDA 5 development framework, they can pump data into and out of the GPUs without asking permission from the CPU. So think sensors.
Oh, raw like sensors, I'd buy that. But you got to have a – yeah. You're not going to get data off a file system. So going back to the embedded system conversation, absolutely. Mm-hmm. A raw sensor on a tank, perfect.
Yeah. But I don't think you're going to talk to the Lustre file system from the GPU.
No. No, you're probably right. And I'm looking at – I pulled up Mellanox's slides. And Mellanox is talking about this in terms of their GPU Direct product. They do have maybe a little bit of secret sauce in that they're using buffers, call them pinned buffers, for RDMA transactions, which might give them a little bit more efficiency and might be showing up in the charts that GE is using. But Mellanox is showing, like on LAMPS, 10% gain on 3 nodes, on Amber, looks like a 33% gain on 8 nodes at about a 27% on Amber Factor 9, which I don't know what that is.
And Dan, I would ask the question, all that, those numbers are good or great, mm-hmm. whatever, but how much work did it take? And is that code now part of the Amber, is it part of the LAMPS release, or is it a fork? Is it put back into the main source tree? You know, those are the kinds of critical questions that need to be asked.
I believe that you get some of this goodness, the ability to use RDMA and to be RDMA optimized. I believe that that's coming from the latest NVIDIA CUDA toolkit, and it just sort of, well, hell, nothing just sort of happens, does it? There's not a wizard. This isn't the Windows world. There's no wizard. I am not sure how hard it is. I don't get the sense from the people I talked to that this was all that difficult to do. But, and I don't think that it took a lot of application changes.
Well, is that 10% over the current LAMPS that has a GPU option, or is it 10% total for the LAMPS? I mean, there's a lot of critical thinking questions I would be asking at this point. So you probably, as the press, don't want me to go into these kinds of conferences, because I'm the guy raising his hand and saying, hey, what about? What about?
I'm not press. Rich is press. I'm an analyst. And I should know this stuff, but I'm kind of one of the stupid analysts. So there you go.
Oh.
So, Rich, what do you think?
Well, Dan, I assumed you were press because you write for the Register. I mean, that's,
I'm not.
I put you in that category.
Yeah, you're kind of
a hybrid
animal. Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, I'm not optimized for either. I'm a non-optimized hybrid.
Well, I think, Dan, back to your question, I think, this particular setup with GE looks like it's for real-time applications, like we were talking about, mil-spec things. But it does have, I think, implications. As we move to exascale, they're saying that to meet the power envelope that's required, we're going to need to be using lower power devices. and this is certainly a step towards making that possible from
well,
what I can see.
There's actually a bigger implication. The big thing that this does in my mind is it breaks the CPU to GPU ratio that we've known. So with decoupling the need for the GPU to rely so much on the CPU, that one of the other things that they found is that a GPU is now a lot less stress on a CPU. And I don't know which chart that was that they had, but they ran some tests showing that without RDMA, that a GPU is taking up essentially an entire core of a CPU.
Mm-hmm.
And with doing RDMA, and again, on whatever code they were running, that workload dropped to about a tenth of a core. So it dropped by about 10x.
And that goes back assuming that the algorithm is...
For what they were doing, what specific app they were running, that's what they saw.
Understand. And that makes sense to me. I'm not so sure that in the non-sensor world that you have that much parallel data that you need to process at the same time that you don't need the CPU in the way.
You could very well be possible, and I don't know exactly what app they were running, and I don't know that it was sensor data. I'm thinking that this was a more generalized application because that's some
of
the stuff they were talking about. But
Rich,
we don't know.
Rich, I think we have action item Dan here. Let's get and talk to these people. Let's bring them
Absolutely.
On board and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, because this sounds...
Yeah, I would enjoy that.
That would be good.
Actually, it's kind of funny, the video that I shot with them looking at their ruggedized systems, we ended up having about a 10-minute debate on Fahrenheit versus Celsius. Let me ask you guys, is minus 40 Celsius the same as minus 40 Fahrenheit?
Yes.
Yes.
You both didn't know that. It's the way I set it up. You didn't know that. You lie. I can see your faces.
That. Absolutely. I lived in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Okay, did not factor that in. That's in your garage in January. So you might know that.
Sub-zero.
In the 90s it was. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I did not know that. I thought that they were different pretty much all the way down the road, and so we debated that in their booth with three or four guys weighing in. Finally had to go out to
What's to debate, Dan? There's nothing to debate.
Well, for those of you that live in a climate where minus 40 Fahrenheit and minus 40 C come into play, I could see where you might know that. But for the rest of us that are in more temperate climates, not
Dan,
something we know. All we know is that...
Look at the formula.
Why the hell would I know the formula for Celsius? How much room do you think I have in my brain?
Clearly not enough.
Not enough for that.
I have the formula. I use it all the time.
What for?
Why? Because when you're in foreign countries, you know, I leave the country occasionally on my scuba trips, and they don't use Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly in translation mode.
In your brain?
Yes.
As opposed to having a little widget or a calculator?
No, I don't use a calculator.
So you've trained yourself to...
I can do that formula pretty quickly.
You're like the guy I knew who spent about 3 years teaching himself how to whistle in order to get a modem to handshake with him on the phone. Great skill set. And he could still do it, too. So if you want to spoof a fax machine, give Steve Janes a call.
Dan, 300, 1200, 9600, 4800, what did he whistle at?
He told me he could get it up to 4,800, maybe 9,600 at one time with Hayes modems. It seemed to be mostly Hayes modems. When I first started working with
years
him.
Years ago. He's probably, yeah.
I first met him. He was the guy who taught me a lot about the industry when I first came into it in the early 90s. And there were still a number of modems out there. There was still a lot of handshaking. And he proved it to me over and over again that he could do it. It took a lot of time to gain that skill.
Did he? Did this help him on, girlfront?
Yeah, guys like that get all the chicks.
Anyway, Dan, that's my view of it.
Okay, well, we will see if we can get them on a future show and dig into this and see what is what.
Well, gentlemen, I am off to do my birthday activity called Extreme Sandbox, and I'll be sending you some pictures.
So Extreme Sandbox, you might want to explain that to the people that are listening.
Extreme Sandbox is what my wife gave me for her birthday. I'm going to be playing with a very large bobcat looking like heavy equipment for a couple hours digging holes.
From looking at the website you sent me to, that looks, that's more than a bobcat, it's like a cat. I mean, it's like a regular cat.
Yeah.
And you're doing the front end loader or the grader?
I'm
or
doing
you lay down some asphalt.
I'll send some pictures.
Does it have a post hole attachment on it? Post hole digger?
Oh, don't talk to me about post holes. That brings back bad memories from the 70s, Stan.
Brings back bad memories from me for a boss that I had at one time, but that's a different story. Had nickname of the auger. For good reason. But anyway, but that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, enjoy the heavy machinery there.
Our pal Rich is celebrating a birthday as well.
And happy birthday, Rich. You have a great time on your birthday dinner.
I'd like as many people as possible to send Rich e-cards.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, I'll probably be my next birthday, Dan.
Close to it, yes. Not that far off.
Guys, have a good weekend.
Okay, you too, pal. Later. Have fun out there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content links and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.